God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our message for today is coming from our epistle reading from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 1, especially verses 1 through 24. Just as a little bit of an introduction, Paul writes this letter to the Galatians because the Galatians have fallen away. The Galatians have forgotten about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and have chased after something else. Paul here is now needing to do a little bit of that correction. And with that correction, he first of all has to set something straight. Because the way that they were, the opponents of the gospel, were going after it was they were attacking Paul. You know, if you attack the messenger, you sort of dilute the message. Paul here basically needs to remind the people of Galatia that the gospel is the gospel. It's not something that Paul wrote. He didn't necessarily gain any royalties from it. It's not something that he inherited from other people. Instead, the gospel comes from God. Title of this message is Gospel According to God. Because very often we talk about the gospel according to St. Matthew, St. Mark, St. Luke, St. John. There are some other quote-unquote other gospels that are not in our Bible. We have one of Thomas, even one of Mary. They're not considered canonical. But now, what do we do with all this? Every day, in one essence, we are faced with the same temptation that the people of Galatia were faced with. Do we truly believe the gospel message, the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, on how much he loves you, cares for you, forgives you? I will admit, sometimes it's a little challenging in today's world to believe that gospel message. Why? Because we live in a world that's filled with sin. We live in a world that's filled with pain, loneliness. We live in a world where things do not go our way. And because of that, we might start to think, well, where is God? You have all these promises of God. Where is he? God is not absent. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did not forget about you, but he is with you always. In our text for today, Paul notes at least one verse before this text. He says in verse 10, For am I now seeking the approval of man or God? Paul writes this letter not to gain royalties from the people of Galatia, but to set them straight. Paul knew what was really the most important thing. His belief and trust in the promises of God. He says, or am I trying to please man? If I was still trying to please man, then I would not be a servant of Christ. And then the words of our text. Paul uses even himself as an example. Picking up especially with verse 15, he says, but when he who had set me apart before I was born, who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. Paul didn't need to learn this from anyone else. God revealed it to him. But let me pull that apart for a moment. Some of it may show you the true wonder of God. Please note that when Paul says, but when he who had set me apart before I was born. Now, these words are also very similar words used of the prophet Isaiah and Jeremiah. Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. We even have a similar promise being used of John the Baptist in the Gospel of St. Luke. But what's really interesting about God now calling the Apostle Paul that is different from Isaiah or John the Baptist or Jeremiah that we can kind of relate to is, what did the Apostle Paul do after he was born? He grew up in Judaism. He grew up away from the Christian faith. He grew up opposing Christians, even wanting them sentenced to death and putting them into prison. Bottom line is, he grew up a sinner, and not just any type of sinner. A sinner who was directly opposed to the gospel of Christ. Paul uses himself as an example to the Galatians, and basically saying to the Galatians, hey, I know why you left. I did the same thing. God called me, he set me apart, and then I rebelled. Now we might pause for a moment and sit there and think, well, what kind of God do we have? I mean, we're talking about the Almighty God who can create the heavens and the earth with a single word, but now cannot force Paul to remain faithful. And the truth is, you're right. God does not force any of us to remain faithful. And by the way, I mean, if you think about this, can any of us force anyone to really love us or to like us or to be our friend? The answer is no. Even Walt Disney understood this in the movie Aladdin. As the genie says, you know, there are some things I can't do. The great genie of the lamp. I can't force someone to fall in love with someone else. So God will not force the Apostle Paul to love him and to obey him. But the Holy Spirit called him. Even before he was born, the Holy Spirit called him. The Holy Spirit set him apart and saying, you're special. But God did not leave the Apostle Paul alone. And this is the important thing for us to remember in today's world. Because like the people of Galatia, we sometimes think that God is out there and he's distant, that he's not necessarily with us. And if that was true, if God reacts the same way that we would react to a certain situation, we would be doomed. Let me put it this way. You see, when things don't go our own way, we start doing some evaluations in the back of our minds. Should we still continue down this path, or should we just scrap it and go someplace else? We might want to cut our losses and do something completely different. Please note what God did not do. He did not look at the Apostle Paul. He did not take a look at you or me or the rest of humanity and basically say, let's give up with them. They're a bunch of disobedient people who really don't care about the promises of God, who don't care about that loving, caring relationship. No, the Apostle Paul didn't. He was not going to give up on this relationship, even though we had sinned. Even though we have rebelled, even though, like the Apostle Paul, we even purposely tried to distort and tear apart that gospel message. No, God says there's still restoration. We're not going to wipe humanity off the face of the earth. Instead, we're going to restore humanity. And that restoring of humanity would take and cost a great deal. That's where God now takes on flesh and blood, lives among us and suffers and dies. God could have chosen the easy way out. He could have said, enough with humanity, just wipe them out, let's just start over again. But he said, no, humanity's worth it. The people are worth it. I love them. I will take whatever measure is necessary to restore them, including taking on flesh and blood, including suffering and dying on the cross, including going through all that pain and torment, because humanity is important. And so now we have that promise of God, that restoration. Paul, again, now being touched again by God, sees God, God communicates with him, and Paul is baptized. Paul now sees the grace of God now with his own eyes, realizing how much he attacked the gospel, attacked Christians, and now says, I now understand God's grace. I now understand his true love. And so now what is he compelled to do? Because of the grace event that God has given to him, he is compelled to go and to share this good news. We may be reminded in the scriptures that we were all created in Christ Jesus for the purpose of doing good works, so that others can see within us that same love and that same zeal that comes from God. Because we also appreciate what it means to be restored. We also appreciate and how God has touched our lives with his word and sacraments, how God has transformed us, how he has recreated us, how that Holy Spirit has worked in our lives. Martin Luther reminds us in his explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. He says, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives me all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Jesus Christ. Luther reiterates this same gospel message of not tearing people apart, of not giving up on them, but how the Holy Spirit is constantly working at people. You also have been called by God, the same way that Paul was called by God, or at least a similar way, through the same means, God's word, his sacraments. It had a great change upon Paul. He was now motivated with a great deal of zeal to reach out, because he understood the great cost. He understood what was going on. Yes, it's a little bit more than just the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why had there be so much pain? Why had to be so much gore and so much suffering? Because the enemy, so to speak, sin, death, and the devil is a formidable enemy. In order to defeat a formidable enemy, you have to have one giant, huge weapon. The weapon, so to speak, is that of Christ and his love, his word, that even defeats sin, death, and the devil upon the cross for our restoration. And so now the Holy Spirit gives that to you and to me. Because in the midst of our many struggles, we're also going to need that same type of encouragement that Paul gives to the Galatians. We're also going to need that same type of word and to be strengthened with that same sacrament that Paul was strengthened. And so today, we come for that encouragement. Because like the Galatians and like Paul before his reconversion, so to speak, we also struggle with the promises of God. We also need to be strengthened with that word and sacrament daily in our lives, because the struggles of this world and the sin that is even within us, that stains our own bodies, so to speak, we still have to deal with. But again, God does not say you're on your own. Instead, he says, I've given you the restoration. I will give you strength. Ultimately, by his own body and blood, Christ strengthens us. He forgives us. He bestows upon us his grace. Let me close with the words of Martin Luther. Did God call me on account of my holy life? On account of my Pharisaical religion? or an account of my prayers, fastings, or works? Never. Well then, it is certain God did not call me on account of my blasphemies, persecutions, oppressions. What prompted him to call me? His grace alone. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.